Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Well, hello. Hi. My husband just turned down the volume because he has 2 highly functioning ears and I only have 1.
And they don't even know who we are.
Oh, right. Hello. Welcome to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. I am your absent-minded co-host, Morgana Ray, and this is my husband, Devin Gallaudet.
Who's only here to point out faults. And no other. And I mean that completely. If you are tuning in for the first time, totally tongue-in-cheek. And yes, it was like all of a sudden it was like, why are we wearing earbuds and why is it blaring? And I'm right, of course, because my wife.
Well, it's interesting. My ear is fine, but I had a car accident, near-death experience in 1983. And according to the ear doctor, it just took a bunch of years, but the hearing loss has to do with the injury. Strange things that just happen over time. But given the balance of, like, honestly, I would never recommend getting hit by a car and being in a coma for a week and struggling to, like, just regain the things that you did effortlessly, you know, for many, many years. But I do appreciate the gifts that I did get from it. Some of it was having to completely let go of a life I had built. I was only 16 at the time, but I had certain spiritual beliefs and I had certain things that were working very, very well in my life that I loved that had to be released. And what I gained was a certain flexibility, a certain sense of the transitoriness and the vulnerability of being alive in a body, not something you really usually get when you're 16 years old. And it also really woke up my intuition to compensate for the things that weren't working as I was used to them. It took many, many years to just recover. And I never fully recovered my memory. That's why I've got Devin here to remember things for me. But to just compensate, my intuition just really, really woke up. I may not remember things in the past that well, but I have this interesting tendency of the experience of remembering things before they happen and then seeing them happen. So maybe the getting the head knocked up just turned my sense of time around a little bit. So not where I expected to go with today's episode.
Are we still getting in? I'm still thinking we're in the beginning of the show. Yeah. But are we jumping in? That's my wife's favorite.
I'm
thing.
A jumper inner.
You are.
Patience. Who has time for patience?
I don't know. We have like an hour show. So and I'm always just like, let's just up. Relax and we'll talk. And she just needs to like jump in. What's yes. Okay, so what's this week's show about?
This week's show is about light in the darkness.
Light in the darkness, okay.
Yeah, it's even if you're not living in the U.S., most of the world kind of knows what's been going on. For a while, but it got really scary last week. Actually, the day of our last episode, and we didn't go into it because we had the amazing guest, Carol Allen, the astrologer. And interestingly, she had told me a week before our episode that January 6th and 7th were going to be really rocky. You know, expect conflict. We didn't know it would look like that. But she tends to be really on the mark. And by the way, since I brought her up, her personal success calendar. So you get a calendar of not just it's what she can predict so specifically on larger events. Her real specialty is predicting with incredible accuracy personal events. If you want to get her personal success calendar, which is usually $130 a year, it's 68% off. I'm actually buying four. I'm buying a bunch of years because I'm already planning things out in 2023 and beyond. You can find the link. We'll have it on the replay of this, but you can find the link right now just on the replay page of our January 6th episode to take advantage of it. The sale expires January 20th, which is 7 days away, same day as the inauguration. So if you want to get your personal success calendar and see just visually being able to look, oh, that's a happy smiley face and a happy star. I'm going to be at my best and the universe is shining on me. Oh, that's a blue happy face and a blue star. Better stay home and in bed. And, you know, good days for making money, good days for a relationship, good days for communication and anxiety days. It's all there, really just easy to visually check. I don't schedule anything big like my retreat without looking at it, because the one time I disregarded it, I shouldn't have, and I will never make that mistake again. Okay, that was a bit of a tangent, but I do tangents.
All right. Well, I'm gonna jump in on the tangent only because since I'm an obsessive compulsive book nerd, I went out and bought a bunch of Vedic astrology books because I wanted to know, because there's something, you know, I've done a little bit of study. Like my lovely wife knows, the house is covered in books because I want to know. I want to know how do people come up? How do people find redemption and happiness? And how do they see their future? And how do they understand life? And so it's a lot of philosophy and religion and all that kind of stuff. And so I want to be able to at least have an intelligent conversation about it. And I can't say that I'm a big astrology fan, but I've listened to some of the stuff that Carol says. So I dig that. So I'm not promoting the maps because I don't own any and I've never done that. But I went and bought some books because I want to investigate.
And you have a wife who's going to probably get you one anyway.
Okay. Well, thank you. and then I'm sure I'll read it and see what I can glean from it. But I found it interesting enough to have a bunch of books. So they're all Amazon.
We need to know when to launch your next book.
Okay. Great. Then we'll do that because there is a book launch. Matter of fact, just this is an aside, you know, I guess we're going to just keep doing asides until we get to the thing that my wife is dying to jump into. I have basically officially passed the first draft stage, which is obviously the hardest part. It's really sort of like it's the story from beginning to end. And now it's just sort of like the organization, which is actually much easier. And then, of course, lots and lots of editing. But the story's in place. You already know what it is that you're trying to say. Now you're just hoping to say it in a way like I know what I want to say. And I've said that part. Now, really, to me, the first draft is about like me spitting out. And this is just general because I've
been. What are you calling it? Married to jazz hands?
No, I'm not. I you know, I when I started writing down the stories of the book, because it started out as a story.
By the way, this is an inside joke because it's about us. And I haven't read it yet, although I really want to. But I sometimes accidentally, totally accidentally, hear my husband read bits to his friends in his writer's group. And he described me as human jazz hands.
And that's, I think, a reasonable description. And I actually believe that my wife has mistakes where she has an ear pressed to the wall. Like she's holding a glass.
But it's totally accidental.
Right. No, it's totally accidental because she was drinking orange juice mist.
I missed my mouth.
And pressed your head against the door, which is fine. That's okay. None of this stuff is a secret. But so I started off writing about sort of like the first 25 weddings. And then I realized that if I started.
What do you mean 25 weddings? 25 weddings?
Oh, okay. My wife is sort of like prompting me to say more. So the lead in is that my wife and I have been married 25 times. We basically, anytime we go to a new country, we get married, and it's our goal to get married 100 times in 100 countries. And then, of course, we'll just keep going. And then, of course, this whole pandemic thing has kind of shifted that off course.
Buzzkill.
So I started writing about the first 25 weddings, but to be quite frank with you, the 25 weddings is a lot. It's a lot of writing about sort of weddings. And so really it started becoming about more of a memoir about all the horrendous mistakes that I've made during the course of love and my thoughts on love. And so it's a travel narrative. And it's a book about love and how to love better and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And why in the first place, why would somebody who dresses like a lumberjack even consider such a knuckleheaded idea? So I go into
at least you're dressed.
I am dressed. I was wearing a robe like 15 minutes ago. So anyway, so
we're fancy.
We are fancy. And so anyway, I speak to a lot of writers, and a lot of what we discuss is, you know, how do we get through it? And so I was going to say the first draft is really about me saying what it is that I think that I'm supposed to be saying. In other words, I want to just tell the story in a complete way. But more importantly, the bigger picture is the first draft is for me, but the next draft is really, why is somebody going to read the first page and why will they turn the page? And so I have to give them reasons. And that part of it is to make sure that it's entertaining and it has some sort of ideas in there that are going to be useful and hopefully thought-provoking and ridiculous, because how else do we communicate, right? In other words, if I write the most important book in the history of the universe, but you can't get past the first page because it is so terribly boring, then all is lost. You know, in other words, if my philosophy is all you have to do is read the first 70 pages and then something interesting will happen, then it's terrible, because I have my shelves are lined with books where it's like, oh, do I have to read another page, in the desperate hope that the next page will actually have something useful on it. So hopefully the idea is that if you can't read a couple of my pages. So that's what the extra drafts are about.
So that's the next book. It's the first book, Devin's first book, which is way over on the other side of the room. 10,000. Oh, no, it isn't.
It's actually underneath. It's being used as a prop.
To hold up the... Can you help me with this?
No.
Yeah, all right. So for those watching, as opposed to listening, I'm holding up Devin's first book, 10,000 Miles with My Dead Father's Ashes.
Indeed.
Which is...
So glad that it will be now as a coaster.
Yeah.
For our computer or drinks. So anyway, so that's what's going on with me. And so I guess we can get into the juicy bits now. Is that what we're doing?
Yes. Now we're actually going to talk about the light in the darkness.
Right.
So we're kind of a country at war with like real violence and real insurrection and get political stuff that we aren't going to get into. And we live in Southern California, so we're in a very, very hot spot with the pandemic, where just enough people don't believe it's real to overwhelm the hospitals and to be spreading it everywhere. So it's been a very heavy week. Like, there have been days where I just haven't wanted to get out of bed, because some of us just feel the weight of the collective. And at the same time, my life is wonderful. You know, I just, the big gift that I took from the year 2020 is if you have a home and you have your health and you have love, you have everything. Like, you have everything, and everything beyond that is just frosting. I will be more interested in the frosting as the year progresses, as Carol predicted. Things are going to get better. Right now, we're still, the roughness is not over, and it's kind of hard. We can't travel, and it's and what's going on really occupies a lot of my energy and my attention. So that is the context for today's show, is there's just, you know, we've lost people, you've lost people. So we all know that. We do, and at the same time, I'm seeing so many beautiful stories. For example, Monday, my Monday virtual West Coast Swing dance class, our dance teacher, Tatiana, who has won, I think, more swing awards than anybody on earth, besides her partner, Jordan. She was saying in the class, live streaming on Monday, how all of her relationships have been so short-lived, you know, fall in love and then she's gone by Thursday, I think is the way she put it, you know. But she met her boyfriend late February of 2020. He ran up to her and asked for her number in the parking lot. And then when things started happening and things were shutting down, they moved in together and they've been living together for almost a year now. And they are so happy, you know, they're for some relationships. That's been my experience with Devin, is there is when you're with the right person and both of you are being loving and choosing love, this time together can be wonderful. I know it's much harder for Devin because he's far more extroverted than I am, but there's like far. But while everything is going crazy outside, there's so much comfort in just really, really liking the person you're with. And so I have been seeing that. And then there's the clarity. If something's not working, there's the question of, is this the right person? Or maybe it is the right person, but what do we need to shift? A real central piece of my definition of the right person is my person wants to work it out, you know, wants to be here and wants to work through the challenges. And that's what really made Devin head and shoulders beyond anybody else that I've had a relationship with, is his willingness and his skill to when we're both freaking out and we both hate each other.
That doesn't happen.
It does.
It does for you maybe, but it doesn't for me.
When I get upset, I freak out because you're so important to me. And when I feel like, like I'm feeling alienated, I'm feeling like, what am I doing here? Or unsafe in the relationship, I freak out. I know this is a shock to you, Devin, because you would never know.
Is that what's happening? Okay.
Because the stakes are so high. And Devin soothes my savage heart, which is the reverse of almost every other relationship where I had to be the soother and the placator and the sane person. Devin holds a container so that I can feel safe to like let down my guard and come back to love. So I mentioned the story about Tatiana. And there was a really other wonderful piece of news that came in about a client of mine from 2 years ago, Marina. Devin, you met her when she came to a retreat at our house. I met her in Bali, an Italian entrepreneur, really super duper duper young, like 25 or 26. So she totally doesn't fit in the midlife.
She's not watching this show.
Right.
And for well, middle-aged people.
Yeah. But the first thing that she wanted, the first reason she worked with me was she was stuck in this feeling of being a little girl with her parents and her attorneys and all the grown-ups telling her what she should do, but she knew what she needed to do and what she wanted to do. And she wanted to sell her company and she knew the terms that she wanted to sell it for and she knew exactly how much she wanted to sell it for. And everybody was telling her it wasn't possible. And she wanted to work with me because she wanted to kind of find her adult voice to stick up for herself effectively. And that's what she got out of it. And she went home and she sold the company, got everything she wanted down to the, you know, last Italian nickel, whatever they call that. And then what always happens when money is no longer the issue, the love thing comes up. And she was looking for her soulmate. And by the way, this girl is so beautiful. She could be a fashion model and she has no clue because boys her age are mean to her. And she had very, you know, she just had no clue how beautiful she was because that's what it is to be young. But she found her, so she came back for another retreat that Devin co-led, and Devin did a lot of work on relationship, a lot of coaching on relationship, and also some spell casting with Marina and I think maybe five other women. And about a month later, Marina met her soulmate. And they went to Bali together, and they were stuck in Bali just as the world was closing down. So they decided to stay there, and they just had a baby named Athena in honor of the goddess work that we did in Bali. And that's one of those stories of things going crazy and we focus on that. And it, by the way, I don't want to in any way dismiss how much awfulness there's been. And I also want us to look for the light in our own lives, the happy stories around us, because I think that when mortality is in our face, whether it's from disease or political changing and stuff like that, every good thing becomes that much more important, that much brighter by contrast. And I, in fact, brought my special, what was I going to call you? My, what do they call reporters? My special, oh yes, my official Kabbalah correspondent. We have our official Crazy Midlife Love Radio Kabbalah correspondent, Devin Gallaudet, here today to talk about the dark and the light. Devin, what do you have to say about that?
Well, that was quite a lead-in. I think part of the reason why I can, you know, when my lovely wife goes south somewhere, is because I don't see it the way she does. I don't see life as this sort of like, here's this bleak tapestry, and then if we're lucky and we try real hard, there's a little pinprick we can poke through it to get this little dot of light off in the distance, and then it's good, but we're all surrounded by this bleak thing.
I just told you how happy I am with
No, this is totally great.
Okay.
I'm just saying, when you're describing it,
I don't want to minimize other people's experiences.
I'm not saying anybody's minimizing anything.
Totally interrupting.
Yes, totally.
Yes. Our phone number here is 888-627-6008. So we are here for you if you are feeling the darkness of circumstance. Call on in. We will help guide you through it. We're not here to like disregard or minimize what's going on, but we want to help you use whatever is going on to get through it to the treasure and your own empowerment. So the phone number here is 888-627-6008. Don't be afraid of interrupting us. Just call in and our producer told us that was an issue, and I've heard that from others. So call in and we'll be alerted and we'll just let you in when the conversation pauses. So if you have like a happy story to share, we love to hear that too. If you're in the dark and you want some help, we're here for that. So, Dr. Gallaudet, proceed.
Okay. So, I was, talking about this kind of bleak idea and then poking a little pinprick through it, I would argue, and this is kind of the way that I see it, like, I get it. We're in a political upheaval. Totally get it, right? And I'm not saying it's wonderful. I'm not trying to say this is a it's everything's wonderful. I'm not saying that. What I am suggesting, however, is that a lot of this stuff is on how we look at the world. One of the ways people tend to look at the world, especially people that I speak with, is that there's this, a thing happens, right? Maybe it's a big, giant, scary thing. I'm not saying big, giant, scary things don't take place. But to me, it's sort of like, well, what's the bigger picture? So a scary thing took place, right? Some of these things are just simply out of our control. Like I can't fix. I wish I had sort of like a thing where I could just snap my fingers and it's just, you know, ice cream and lovemaking for everybody. That would be great. But I can't. So what it means is for me, when these scary things show up, I don't tend to look at them. Here's the scary thing and I'm underneath the weight of the one scary thing or of the five scary things. What I tend to look at it as, because I don't think my life is just intended to be where I just get an embarrassment of riches and that's it, right? There's nothing else, but I've made three great decisions and now it's just an embarrassment of decisions or embarrassment of successes for the rest of my life. I don't think that's the point. And so to me, it's not a zero-sum game. What I think is I'm supposed to have opportunities and lessons. And so we could get into the Kabbalistic things behind
this.
Well, no, I think it's more important to just kind of understand what the larger principles are. And the larger principles are, is that there's a reason why sometimes bad things happen, right? Sometimes I say or do the wrong thing, and then there's a result of the wrong thing that takes place. Now, I could say, well, this wrong thing took place and it upset me, and now I'm a victim of the wrong thing that took place. I could do that. But what I tend to try to do, and when I'm happiest, what I tend to do is say, well, what can I learn from this mistake? So this thing happened and I don't like it, makes me feel uncomfortable. And at some point I have to look, well, what was my part in the thing? In other words, was there something that I did that caused the thing? And is there an action that I can take to fix the thing? I can certainly feel bad and mourn the loss of friendships or whatever happens around me. But the bigger picture is how do I make it right if it's possible, right? Now, if we're talking about politics, then you have to go vote what you think is best, right? Whether we agree or disagree. I think you go out and so in that capacity, you get to vote. Sometimes it is, maybe it's an apology. But I think the larger thing is if I keep apologizing over the same thing over and over and over again, and there's a pattern that forms, then it starts behooving me to stop making apologies until I start understanding that I'm contributing to this series of apologies I need to make because I'm keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and hoping for a different result. So to me, there's always a bigger picture that's going on. Yes, we have this political unrest and there's reasons behind it. And I think we start looking for the reasons rather than going, there's this horrible thing and I hate the horrible thing and we have to align ourselves against the horrible thing, which is kind of this very Christian idea of everything is either great or everything is either horrible. And what that means is, and this is sort of like an Eastern philosophy that I love, is that I think, you know, as an American, I think we have this very Judeo-Christian fundamental series of ideas. And I think those are mostly great. And then there's a lot of stuff that falls outside, like it's really more of a gray area rather than everybody, those people over there are just wrong, period. And I'm just right. And the truth of the matter is in my personal life, like me personally, I've made millions of mistakes when I was certain that I had it right. And then I'd find out 6 months later, you actually had a much bigger part to play in this thing. So I try to take the personal responsibility where I can. I try not to look at it as everything is terrible. Like I get it. Carol was right. This thing happened that negatively impacted millions upon millions of Americans, if nothing else, from a psychological standpoint. And then some people where it's just like, you know, loss of life, all these horrible things. And that's been going on for months. So what can I learn from these individual things is where I start looking at it. And I start embracing that there's actually more gray area when you start sort of like taking, it's like, okay, this terrible thing happened, but what's the context of the terrible thing, right? What can I do about it? And how do I affect other people by the things that I do? In other words, do I need to actively go out and, you know, with a sign or a rifle in the middle of the street to impose what I think is right? And the answer to me is, you know, sometimes yes, and sometimes no.
I would say never with the rifle, but yes with the sign.
Well, but I'm not, what I'm saying is that some people have gone out into the street with rifles. And so.
And murdered.
Well, and we're not talking about right and wrong for you. We're talking about how do people stand up for what they believe in. And I'm not saying it's right. What I'm saying is that these are the things that people have to make decisions on for themselves. And what I'm saying.
And then take the consequences.
Totally.
Of whatever
absolutely.
The decision is.
Absolutely. But every consequence that there's a consequence to everything that you do or the things that you fail to do. Mm-hmm. Your inaction has a consequence to it. So I'm not saying life is easy. What I'm saying is that there's a bigger picture. And to me, if you're fighting without knowing what the lesson is, or embracing the fact that there's gray area in all of this stuff where it's like, I don't know what the real answer is.
So where is the light? So
I think the light is everywhere. I would argue, here's where I was going. At some point, you either believe that life is a series of happenstances, where there's no reason for them to be happening. They just happened and I don't like it and that's the end of that. Or you can say that there's a larger picture, whether that is a cosmic ooze. In other words, there's like, here's the incident that happened. And we can say, okay, well, what can I learn from the incident, right? And then if we keep playing it out, we can start saying, well, this is just a series of happenstance things. I don't know how it happened. It just happened and I happen to be in the way and it's terrible and it sucks. We can do that. I personally don't, because I tend to go at some point, like if you start playing it out, I can either start saying everything is happenstance. My earbuds keep falling out. I can't stand that. Either everything is happenstance or there is a much bigger picture. We can call that gods. We can call that the cosmic ooze. We can call that a divine plan. We can call it whatever it is that you want. However it is that you see that thing. And if you start playing out these little things that happen, we can start looking at, oh, well, maybe the butterfly is flapping its wings in somewhere in Japan, and it's causing these things over here to happen. And so what I'm saying, hold on, we're closing in on it. I know. The biggest picture is do things happen for a reason? I happen to believe that they do. Right? For the good and the bad. That doesn't mean people don't suffer. It doesn't mean that there aren't terrible things that take place. What I'm saying is that if things happen for a reason, it starts behooving me to start aligning myself to the biggest picture possible, that these things aren't just happening because there's a bunch of jerks.
I take a middle path. I don't believe that things are just random happenstance. But I do... My middle path is that it is my role as a human being and meaning maker to make the best use of my life and have the best experience here mm-hmm. for myself and others, to make use of whatever arises. You know, find the gem in the challenge. Find what I'm supposed to learn so that I don't need to repeat the struggle over and over again, because once I get the learning, then the struggle doesn't need to show up anymore. And then some things happen and I will never know the reason, and it's not my job. I recall from my religion studies back in at Smith College, where when one of Buddha's students wanted to know why we suffer, where does it come from? His response was, if you're shot with a poison arrow, you don't sit there asking, why did you shoot me? You have to take out the arrow and get rid of the poison. You have to deal with what is here. So there are things that are not ours to know. And if the universe is all random happenstance, I will still come up with meanings and ways to turn every event for me instead of to me, because that's the relationship with the universe that I want to have. I don't believe that it's that random, because I've had those sort of spontaneous moments of like non-duality. Oh my gosh, I'm looking at things from a very macro, what feels like hyper real perspective, where it all makes a lot more sense. And there isn't the judgment of bad and wrong. It's all more like art and experience. And that's great when you are beyond your body and beyond, you know, all harm, and you're just nothing but divine light, love, and everything is divine love. But when we are in our bodies, we do have roles to play. And ideally, and this is the funny thing, when I was in college, I loved Taoism. I loved the imperfection of Taoism, because I was like leaving home from a hyper-perfectionist mom and eating disorders and all that perfectionism stuff. So Taoism and just watching the waves rise up and down without judgment was liberation. And I really didn't like those picky perfectionist Confucius, which was like the balance to Taoism, where Confucianism is polishing the stone to perfection. It just sounded too hard and get off my back, man, kind of thing. But now at this stage of my life, I love the whole notion of Confucianism, which is, if you are a mom, be a great mom. If you are a hairdresser, strive to be the best hairdresser. If you are driving down the street, strive to be the best, most rule-abiding driver, because then society works better for everybody. And now I kind of get that, like, Confucianism to me is like, wear a mask and be a great citizen for other people. What, you know, whoever you are, whatever role you take on, do it really, really well for the benefit of everybody. So it's not that little kind of perfectionist cell anymore. It's sort of a celebration of how we all interact. And if we interact at our best, it elevates everybody.
So here's the problem, and here's the difference from what I was not quite done saying.
Oh.
What a surprise. What a surprise. So the question was, where is the light?
Where is the light
in the darkness? I would argue that the light is everywhere. I think there's nothing but light constantly, all the time. And the problem that I see is, like, I get the whole wear a mask, we're in a pandemic. I totally get it. And I'm not arguing that anybody shouldn't do that. The problem is that some people come to the conclusion that they shouldn't.
And that killing other people is okay.
Well, but that's not the argument for them. That's your argument to justify
just
you can
the science.
Well, but it's still your Again, it's still, the question then becomes, is the finger pointing at the person who's not wearing a mask fixing it? And I would argue it's never fixing it, because we still have people who are not wearing masks, and we have at least as many people yelling at them to wear a mask, and they're not. And I think part of the problem is that when you have people of differing opinions, if you think it's okay to yell and scream at them to get your way, I don't know of any political conversation that starts off, here's my justification of why you should agree with me. And I've never heard the other person say, you're 100% correct. I change everything about myself in order to believe and say what you say. And so my light thing is that we can take action that we can take. I'm not saying, listen, if you need to go yell and scream at somebody in the street because they're not wearing a mask, then that's what you're going to do. Right. And that's what people are doing. And sometimes people are fighting in the street for the same thing. And so there's two sides of the thing that they're fighting in. In other words, you know, we can look at, how do you want to find light? My question is that I have to live the life that I'm capable of living. If I'm in a position where I'm like in a gang warfare, like I'm in a movie, right? I'm in a post-apocalypse movie. Where, like, I'm in the yard and I'm surrounded by the two factions, and they're like, well, one side is going to kill you. Like, if you don't pick a side, we're going to kill you. If that's the case, then I'll pick the side because I'm in that movie. but most of us aren't in that movie. So the question becomes is I get to be a little bit more philosophical to come to answers, not, again, if I align myself with the light, if I keep aligning myself with the light over and over again, I think what happens is I have opportunities where I can have individual conversations that is very less, it's less about judging the other person and much more, how do we find a way to navigate this even when we don't?
I think there's a big key issue here around safety. I think when we feel safe, we are far more on either side of, or on any side of any debate. When a person feels safe, it's a lot easier to be kind and allow the other point of view without freaking out or fighting. I think a place to look first, because you can't change other people. It's so annoying. Like, who you marry is who you get. So pick somebody you like as is.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's true. And so, that's true.
So safety, we have to create our own safety. No matter what's going on outside, whatever baby steps we can take, we have to create our own safety. A big piece of what I do in my own life and that I do with clients is digging for the hidden monster behind the struggle, the reason we push what we want away, and why, and one of the keys to why we have this conflict, even though we're doing everything we're supposed to be doing, if we are unsafe and not really facing what the danger is. And this is different than what my peers teach about law of attraction, which is just positive thinking and look at the light and ignore what's going on in your gut. And if you just think good thoughts and vibrate high vibrations, nothing bad will ever happen again. There will be no earthquakes, and none of that is true. Like, we're sane people. We know that stuff happens because that's part of the game of having a flesh suit. How do we respond to it in our most powerful, equanimous, I hope I pronounced that right. That's one of those words I know how to read better than I know how to speak. It's like even keeled. How do I respond to it in the most empowered, even keeled way possible? And looking at, you know, doing our own inner shadow work and really facing the monster and rejecting what doesn't get to play in our lives and what we want to play with. I do that by personifying everything that's wrong and getting rid of that person and replacing that imaginary person with a real ally. You know, someone who loves me and sees me sometimes bigger and better than I see myself in the moment, because I carry my doubts with me everywhere. But whatever you need to do to, as Devin would say, take that deep cleansing breath and feel right with yourself. And if not right with the circumstances, right with the larger world behind the shifting circumstances, then you can look at what's going on as this giant production of divine theater and divine art and see the love behind it, and then make the choices and take the actions that are right for you.
So I think that was exactly what I said.
But I said it more flowery.
Yes, no, you absolutely did. And it was beautifully done. I appreciate all of that. Yeah, I mean, again, I think it goes back to, where do you find light? I think you have to look for the light sometimes. I think to be specific about the Kabbalistic thing that my lovely wife was alluding to, is that there's this idea that, you know, but aren't we supposed to know where the light is? And I would argue that no. Or I would say that Lauriana Kabbalah would say, actually, no. What you have to do is you have to kind of go seek it out to some degree. In other words, you're going to be mired in this other stuff. In other words, part of the relationship between sort of the light of the human beings. I'm so glad this wasn't an actual interruption, just some minor distraction, that we're here to receive light. But if we were to choose, if it, it makes it harder to choose the light. If you want sort of like your own true will, right? If you want to start making conscious choices, one of the only ways to do that is to kind of choose sort of that light. And maybe that's your intuition, and maybe it's these other things. But more importantly, it's like, do we choose greater good? Yeah, no, I think we're supposed to, but we're also flawed. We're flawed. We're not supposed to just show up here and get it right. Most of us don't. Most of us don't get it right every time, all the time. So that means when people don't get it right, I personally like to strive towards compassion, because I think people deserve it. I think there's a lot of people running around who are sad and hopeless. And, you know, me saying shame, shame, shame to them doesn't serve that greater good, in my humble opinion. My humble opinion. Because I'm trying to look at, in other words, like, here's the thing. So what do I learn from it? And then there's these increasing concentric circles. All right. What do you think of that?
I think that that's beautiful. We made a promise or a commitment a few weeks ago that I would read into existence some intentions for the year 2020 from some of our audience who wrote back to me. I was encouraging people to set themes because I don't care for New Year's resolutions. I don't even remember how many decades ago it was when I did a resolution. The resolutions seem to be kind of, you know, bad Morgana, kind of punishing, get it together. You know, it really is not the energy for change. I like themes. Themes are like flavors for how you want to color the year. And ideally themes are vague so that there's a lot of room for that theme to play itself out in wonderful ways, much bigger and better than you imagined. So here are a few. One of them, some of them are more words than others. So I'm going to read them into existence and I might even tweak them. So Christiane wrote, her theme for 2021 is, what if all my highest and best dreams manifest in 2021 in ways that are even more magnificent than I ever imagined possible? So Christiane, I would distill that down to better than I imagine. That this is the year that is better than I imagine. And look for evidence of that. And this is the sticky point. If things happen that are not better than you imagine or that you don't like, here's the back door. Every obstacle, every setback, every challenge is divinely put in your path to correct your course so that you get to the results that are better than you imagined, better and faster than you would have otherwise. So even the stuff you don't like is happening for you towards this theme of better than you imagine. And then just let it go. Let it go and notice what happens. And for goodness sake, write to me if anything really cool and interesting happens, because I live for that stuff. So that's theme number one for Christiane. Theme number two for Cornelia. Stephanie. One name is the first or the last. I can't tell.
I think it's Cornelia.
Okay, we'll go with that. I like that name. The theme, having it all. That's wonderful. That's a huge theme. Having it all, what would that be like for a year, having it all? Here's the caveat that you might want to adjust. Having it all means having it all. And some of that all may not be what you want. When a girlfriend complains to me that she's always attracting horrible guys, I will point out that she's really attractive. And when you're really attractive, you attract everything. So it doesn't mean you're a bad person if you're attracting what you don't want. It just means you're attracting everything, and then you get to say no to what you don't want. So you may want to like tweak having it all to like create a little safety clause, like having it all in my highest good, or find the flavor, or in enjoying it all might be a very useful way to live for a year. What would life, what would your life and your world and your business and your relationships look like from 12 months of enjoying it all? That might be fun. And finally, Liv Marie wrote, my theme for 2021 is light, receiving it for myself, relationships, work, challenges, personally and globally, and emitting it. Well, hello, I totally didn't read that before the show. And doesn't that fit perfectly? My theme for 2021 is light. And if, as Devin says, the light is everywhere.
Yeah, I think it's everywhere. I think it's opportunities. It's opportunities and lessons and good receiving.
Yeah. And seeing the light even when things look dark.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I think there's a difference if it's just sad. I think people can be sad. But I think more often than not, we can at least take, at the minimum, like I talked to some people, and sometimes it's just like, dude, have you had a snow cone? Go have a snow cone because they're just delicious. And sometimes we need to take a few minutes out of just sort of like whatever's going on. Like sometimes we can't fix it, right? We're in the kind of times where we can't just fix it and make it go away. I think on the other end of this, like I think change is difficult. That's the other thing I was going to say is that even with all of sort of like the chaos that's going on, I think in order to progress, we have to rearrange stuff, and the rearranging makes people uncomfortable and crazy.
And often we have to get so uncomfortable before we make the really fabulous changes we need to make to like create the life better than we imagined.
Totally. Things need to fall apart before they can be reassembled to something new and better. Maybe that may have sounded more challenging.
That sounds a little revolutionary to me, Comrade Devin. I don't think that change always has to be hard or painful or destructive. Honestly, it can be easy and fun if you're ready. Some people need to go deeper into like the underworld of chaos and pain. Sometimes that's just part of the path. I do think that that's going on a sort of global scale, which is, so let's outlive this to become the kind of truly prosperous, equitable, kind, and evolved planet and people that we really do have the potential to be. That's what I would like to see come out of all of this.
So was that it?
I think we're getting close to the end. I'm distracted because, there we go. Yeah, we're coming close to the end. So next week, really, really exciting. We have a special guest, Ariel Ford. Ariel Ford is Debbie Ford of the Shadow Chasers' sister. She was the publicist for Deepak Chopra, and she has come into like her own over the last decade or so, that she doesn't need these other associations. She is really, she's a soul sister, a dear friend. I love her approach to love and midlife love. One of her best-selling books, Wabi Sabi Love. Love is loving the imperfections. So I think we're just going to have a great conversation about making love work, and why midlife love is the best love. You're going to adore her. You probably already know who she is. So
she's a super rock star.
Oh, yeah. Super, super rock star. So totally a coup. It helps to have really amazing friends.
So I need to put on like a nicer shirt, or can I just do this?
Put on clothing.
Oh, okay. All
right. Yeah. Sometimes that's, an effort sometimes.
I'll shave too. Okay, good.
Oh, now I have a plan. That's kind of sexy.
Now I have a plan.
You look like a bad boy. So we are here, Crazy Sexy Midlife Love, every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific. You can get us live. You can also follow our weddings at crazysexymidlifelove.com. See the first 11 weddings, like condensed into, I think, 3 minutes. Get updates. Stay in relationship with us. Download Devin's ebook.
DevinGalladay.com. Yeah.
And send us emails with requests for questions you would like us to answer or topics you would like us to cover in future episodes.
Because we would do that.
We would do that. We would do that for you. So we alternate between having guests and then just jamming about whatever is...
whichever topical is going on in our lives and its usefulness.
Yeah. So stay safe and love yourself and make good choices about who you let into your life. I mean, love freely, but also you deserve to be treated kindly and to treat others kindly and have crazy, sexy midlife love.
Well said. All right. So
I think we're out of seconds.
I think we are.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.